9:30 a.m. KSDP Radio. I'm Kels Hetherington. My guest this morning is Greg Blakey on the phone from Seattle at the offices of Snowpack Seafoods. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, Kels. How are you doing?
All right. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Great. Well, I wanted to have you on, meet the people, to talk with you about the project that you are executing here in Sandpoint and give us an update on the status of that project. First of all, for those of our listeners who may not be fully aware of what Snowpack's business is, maybe you could give us a brief overview.
Well, Snowpack, we're a fish processing company. We've been operating since 1983 in Alaska, you know, in various fisheries, primarily buying fish from fishermen and processing and marketing either to primary processing markets and overseas in Asia and Europe, and some value-added sales, which primarily is here in the States.
Hmm. Now, you see, now some of the markets are overseas, though, right?
I'm sorry, Kel, say again?
Some of the markets are overseas now?
Oh, right, right. No, there's, depending on the fish species, some of them are all overseas. But the, you know, the market is more more diverse, particularly in salmon, than it used to be. Particularly wild salmon is getting more and more of a toehold in the domestic market, which is good because it spreads things out quite a bit. And, you know, we've had some recent developments where it's actually, I think we're probably gaining market share in the European market for high-quality fish. It's, you know, it's always a changing landscape, but what's been happening in the last 2 or 3 or 4 years is actually very positive for us in Alaska. Because instead of just for instance, an example would be sockeye salmon. 20 years ago, it all went to Japan, and now a lot sold domestically, and a lot is sold in the European market. So it's good to have market diversity and to develop, you know, more value-added markets where the value goes up. We're still competing heavily with farm salmon throughout the world, but as we've found with what's happened in Chile, it's you know, we can be competitive, and they have their own problems. So, well, although we represent a small percentage of the fish, of the salmon sold, you know, we're actually doing pretty good in the marketplace.
You say the market is expanding domestically, at least, and in Europe in certain parts. Why is the price of salmon coming under such pressure, at least in the Sandpoint and in the Aleutian Islands?
Well, the markets change quite a bit, you know, from year to year, from month to month. I think what, you know, the important thing is to extract as much value out of the fish as possible. So if you have a particular species that and quality what you want to do is you want to find the best market for it. So, like, we can't sell all the fish to one place. You have different sizes. An example is 6 to 9 sockeye. We've got some really good markets in Europe, and they utilize the fish as raw material for lox, for smoking, for soft smoke. Hmm. That can be very nicely against Norwegian farmed Atlantic fish. That's an example. You have a small sockeye, which may not have much of a market in Europe or the domestic market. It may have to go to Japan for industrial reprocessing or China for, you know, cut little portions out for rice balls or something like that. It's got to go kind of everywhere. And the market is actually much more worldwide than it was 10, 15 years ago.
What is the nature of the project that you are working on in Sandpoint, Alaska?
Well, what we're doing is we're working with, you know, very closely with the corporations, the native corporations in town, the city, hopefully the borough, and hopefully a lot of people involved in the fisheries there. And the concept is to put together a very efficient, state-of-the-art fish plant that can process all species of fish and do as much value added as possible. And hopefully, along with that, do some branding. In other words, where we've been using the name Sandpoint Seafoods. That's not written in stone. That's just the working name. You know, we don't know what the for sure what the final name might be. But referring to Sandpoint Seafoods, you know, the idea here would be a more of a joint venture. Snowpack does not have a desire to be the controlling, you know, partner there. We want to work with everybody. And the idea is to, again, is to put up something that's state-of-the-art that can really take it, you know, take the next step up as far as producing a high-quality product and having, you know, expanding the market. And again, I think, you know, we've all seen what was happening with, like, Copper River Seafoods. And it's got Copper River Salmon, for instance, and it's got a pretty good niche. And, you know, we should strive to kind of copy them and do what we can to make it a branded product that they know where it's from, that it's got a good reputation because the quality's correct. And I think that's, you know, long term, that makes a lot of sense because there's a lot of nice fish in the waters around Sandpoint.
Well, Greg, an outsider might say, why are you developing another cannery in Sandpoint? There are already two here. And if there was a business to be made, wouldn't they be making a business out of it through their current operations? But you're looking at it somewhat differently. You're going at it from a cooperative perspective and trying to get a fisherman to invest. Is that correct? And how is your fish processing organization going to differ from the current setups that are presently operating in the Sandpoint fishery?
Well, I think if you take a general overview of fisheries around the world, Kels, you kind of see that vertical integration is kind of what makes the most sense. In other words, if you're a set netter in Pavlov, for instance, and you're catching fish, you can just sell it to the tenner goes by. That's well and good, but when you sell that fish, that's the end of your relationship with that fish. You get whatever you're paid for it. And maybe, just maybe, it might make sense to have some ownership in that fish all the way through the process, from the processing to the shipping to the eventual market to the marketing. And the idea is it kind of plugs the fisher. I'm going to refer to it as a fisher person because it's not always just fishermen. It could be fisherwomen as well. It gives them a more of an interest in the fish all the way through because they get to share in the upside of the marketing side and the processing, and so it gives them a potential to have a better revenue stream from that fish. And the other thing is it gives them more pride in it, and hopefully they take better care of the fish. And I think it's a win-win for everybody. And that's the goal, is everybody has to be, I think, to be successful, has to be involved in something like this. And there's got to be some long-term benefits to being involved in a project like this. So the idea is that they, you know, there's dividends paid to, you know, as a result of ownership in the plant. And again, I think it's just a positive as far as the quality aspects.
Now, so what you're trying to create is more or less an ownership society for fishermen as they relate to the cannery business, right? You're asking them to invest in the cannery alongside.
Right, and it's obvious that you know, you can't go fishing and run a fish plant at the same time. You just can't be in two spots at one time. But there is potential for profit from that, from the processing and marketing side. And again, I think that the vertical integration aspect of it makes a lot of sense for everybody. We don't have Snowpack doesn't have world domination in mind. In other words, we're not looking to corner everything. We'd like to work with a situation like this because we think it can be very positive. And I think 5-10 years down the road, it will really prove out to make a lot of sense for everybody.
How much are you asking fishermen who are interested in investing and taking part in the cooperative to invest?
Well, we haven't gotten to that point, Kels. It's very important that the steps are done properly. I might add that, we initially were up there last summer. We bought some fish, and we had these discussions. And the idea is still kind of formulating, but we had Tiffany Jackson as our liaison between the plant and the locals, and she did a great job doing that. We're very thankful for her efforts there. Recently, there was a hiring committee that was formed. It consisted of Paul Sweaters with Snowpack, my wife Nancy, Mayor Glenn Gardner, Arlene Gunderson, Rhett McGlashan, and they went through a hiring process where they were looking for basically a startup director, someone that has some experience in things like this and putting groups of people together and making it work. And they came up with a person that has had experience in, well, her experience primarily was in Kodiak, I believe, but she, her name is Robbie Townsend-Vennell, and just recently, I think as late as this morning, I think they'd signed a contract with her, and she's going to come to Sandpoint various times throughout the summer, you know, week here, a couple weeks there, and her goal is to get more background from the, you know, from the fishermen that are in at the time, from the locals, and she's going to be working on a business plan. So before we actually have a business plan, we can't really define what is needed for instance, you know, startup and what somebody can buy into. It's very important that everything is kind of laid out and that it's just not done willy-nilly. So that'll be her job here in the next several months is to get that organized. And then at that point, if you ask me the question and say September or October, I can give you an answer, Kels. But right now, I can't tell you what the investment required would be for an individual fisherman.
Well, that's a pretty good answer, and it's a tough question, I know. How much money are you going to need to run your business? Tough question to answer. I mean, right now, you're still
there's a couple other things that are going on that we'd like to get done this summer, Kels. And the primary one is get a storage facility for net, you know, and gear storage. And Paul Switters has come up with a plan. It's more of a Rolls-Royce or a Bentley. Maybe it's more than what we need initially here this summer, but we'd like to have something available for early fall for net storage. And that's one of the goals to get done here this summer. As you know, as an adjunct to the plant, so we can get some people have some more space to store gear inside.
Now, yeah, that's a real need of the fishermen in Sandpoint, for all fishermen, but particularly here in Sandpoint, I know I hear them talking about needing to have a place to store their equipment. Where is the cannery that you have in the planning stages going to be constructed in Sandpoint?
You know, for some reason that came through kind of scratchy. Repeat it again.
Sure. Where is the cannery that you have on the drawing boards going to be built in Sandpoint?
Well, the kind of the timeline that we came up with at our last meeting in Sandpoint showed basically that we'd have to have the business plan here by basically the end of September this year. At that point, we can define things as far as what we need as far as for capitalization for building the plant. And the construction along that time frame was showing next spring and summer. So the plan would be to again get the business plan done. Potentially, there's grants available, so maybe low interest loans, something like that. We've got a pretty good design right now. That'll probably be fine tuned. Get the equipment coming. Start building when it's viable to start building here next spring, and work like crazy and get it done. So it would be the time frame is not going to be instantaneous, but it's obviously all this takes some time. But that would be the plan to get it operational by the end of next year, or certainly early the following year.
Well, what about the actual site of the plant? Do you have that established?
Well, the concept would be to put it. I don't know if you've been up to the Liason office and seen the site plan, but it'd be basically just off the new. Dock in the new harbor, so just basically placed right behind that, between that and the hillside there.
And that is that's absolutely where it's going to go, or that's a possible site.
Well, that would be the ideal spot because you need access. Of course, you don't have to put fish in a truck and truck them somewhere. You want to be adjacent to the dock, so it's convenient as far as unloading boats, whether it be pollock, cod, salmon. Crab or whatever, so you pretty much want it to be adjacent to the water access. So that would be the spot.
Now, what you're talking about has great potential for the city of Sandpoint from an infrastructure development perspective and, you know, the future of Sandpoint in general. How much more do you think the city might be able to realize in additional fish taxes being paid by the new cannery?
Well, I'd have a tough time getting my calculator right now and figuring it out, but it should be substantial. You know, besides the fish tax, I think there's probably some additional business that would be developed as well that would bring in more money into the community. Certainly help with you know, building more infrastructure, give it more of a base. You know, as far as a tax base, it would be substantial, but I couldn't quote you how much more at this point.
But you'd be using goods and services in Sandpoint, and by doing that, you'd help create a larger base for sales and services in Sandpoint, and that would drive down, hopefully, prices for everyone in Sandpoint, businesses and individuals, which is great. Now, you've been meeting with a lot of the tribes and tribal entities in Sandpoint in Alaska. How are they responding to your idea and your plans?
Well, we've had, you know, with all three of the tribes, it's been very positive. And you know, one blanket statement I could probably make right now is momentum seems very good. And there's been a lot of people working very hard at this besides people at Snowpack. And, you know, I mentioned earlier about Tiffany Jackson that was in here from the beginning. You know, the mayor's worked very, very, very good at, you know, all the way along here. He's been very supportive. Of course, as, you know, Arlene's been very helpful. They all have. Everybody we've met with has been positive, and I think things are going pretty darn good right now from you know, all the reports that I get and what I hear from Nancy and from Paul. So I'm enthused. I think I think that things are going very, very well.
Now, you have operations elsewhere in Alaska. Can you talk a bit about those, where they are and what you do, and if it's been a success or not?
Well, it's, you know, every year is not a success, like every year fishing is not a success. You know, I started out as a fisherman, and, you know, it looked easy putting frozen fish in a box, and been at this for, 26 years now. But we've been involved in a lot of the fisheries in Alaska. You know, just do crab in the Bering Sea in the wintertime. Done cod, you know, various other things. Currently this year, we're basically concentrating on salmon. Like, for instance, last year we did herring and togiak, we did yellowfin sole. This year the ship is actually en route to False Pass. We're going to anchor up in Nicotan Bay, and we're going to be doing the Arium False Pass fishery here starting on June 7th. And then after that, we slide up the north side of the peninsula when everybody kind of leaves the south side, and then we'll segue from that fishery into the Bristol Bay fishery, where we also have a shore plant in Dillingham. In fact, Paul Switters is up there right now. We're doing a big expansion there. We're, you know, trebling the capacity and putting in a bunch of stuff. And so they've been up there working very hard here 7 days a week for the last month or so. And then we do, after Bristol Bay, the ship will actually be going down to southeast Alaska to do pink salmon. So that will be our pretty simple season this year. Usually we're involved in wintertime stuff, but this year we had all the work to do in Dillingham, as well as we put a lot of time and effort into planning for the Sandpoint, the future Sandpoint facility. So, in fact, I'm leaving early Thursday morning to go up to Dillingham, probably for just a couple hours, and then out to Sandpoint. I hope to meet with some people here on Thursday evening, and, you know, before everybody takes off fishing, then I've got to make my way down to False Pass for the beginning of our operations down there.
Well, that all sounds excellent. One last question for you, Greg. I'm curious, how has Snowpack managed to thrive as an independent processor in the state of Alaska when every other independent processor has gone away, been bought up, or gone out of business?
Well, I don't know. At times it's not easy. There's, you know, as is true in many industries throughout the world, there's more and more consolidations occurred. We're kind of a, you know, I guess right now the finance is kind of a family business. My daughter Jenna is basically acting COO. She's up in Bristol Bay right now, running the office up there, and my wife Nancy's involved in the company. My three sons all fish. They all fish in Bristol Bay. I don't know. I kind of like doing this, I guess. You just stick at it long enough, it gets in your blood, and you're stuck. I mean, I'm too old to go to computer school and learn how to program computers. I just know fish.
Mm. I think I saw on your website that your daughter, who is actually a recent graduate from Oxford University in Great Britain, has been involved in the effort to block the Pebble Mine. That's an interesting mix. You know, her dad's in industry, and the daughter is out there leading a cause. Just kind of an irony, I thought.
Well, Jenna's pretty independent. If I was on the other side of the Pebble Mine issue, it wouldn't change her mind at all. But mm-hmm. I happen to agree with her because we depend a lot on the Bristol Bay salmon fishery, and I'd hate to see that get all goofed up with pollution and ruining some of the streams. So I happen to be on her side on that, but it wouldn't matter. If I wasn't on her side, she'd still be an opponent of it. So I guess that's the only way I could answer that one.
Could make for some animated dinner conversations, though. It just was kind of curious to me to see your daughter involved in something that is trying to stop a major project from moving forward when you're a business leader in Alaska. But there are a lot of people down here who are very concerned about the Pebble Mine project. And I don't know an awful lot about it, but I know it could mean a lot of jobs for that particular area. And some say it can be done without negatively impacting the fishing grounds down here or up there. So,
well, Kels, I think I think oversight is needed on something like this. The potential devastation that mine could create would be really, really bad. And I think this is all part of the process. Frankly, I haven't been to many mines where, it was an ecological mess, the mines I've visited over the years. There's probably a way of doing it without really impacting the environment, but I think, realistically, the Pebble Mine will probably go through, but hopefully with enough provisions to keep it from really messing things up. But the potential there for screwing up the whole Bristol Bay ecosystem is pretty great right now. And, of course, I'm hearing mostly one side of it because not only is my daughter involved, my son-in-law, who also graduated from Oxford, is involved. He's going to be doing a thing with National Geographic here in the next couple of weeks where they're going to make this Pebble Mine an article for the National Geographic magazine. He's involved with those guys. So if it does happen, we hope it doesn't really screw things up.
Well, I just thought I'd ask you about it, not to pick apart your family, but because you mentioned it on your website, I thought I would bring it up because I've done my homework here. So, it's been great talking to you, Greg, and all the best in your project, and we'll look forward to seeing you here in Sandpoint later in the week when you get down here after you're in Dillingham. So anything else you want to add?
Well, no, I look forward to coming up there. Hopefully you're showing up sometime Thursday afternoon or early evening. It'll be good weather.
Sounds good. Good luck to Snowpack, and we'll look forward to seeing these plans develop and come to fruition. Thanks, Greg.
Okay, Kels, take care.
That's Greg Blakey. He is head of Snowpack in Seattle. He was on the phone from his offices down there. They are working to develop a co-op cannery here in Sandpoint. We'll be going back now to the music, and then at the top of the hour, we'll hear again from NPR News in Washington, D.C. Until then, I'm Kels Hetherington. We're going to have Kellyanne Duma back on the station tomorrow to talk about drugs and alcohol. That'll be an interesting conversation. Join us tomorrow at 11 o'clock, right here on 8:30 a.m. KSDP for Meet the People.